eyes to see, and a heart to perceive.
You're about to talk to me.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to take you to John chapter 14, because he took me there this week, and we're in the Passion Translation. And there's a real, let's say, place of awareness that God is trying to discern for me to go a little bit higher than the normal. Now, when I say the normal, I'm talking about the everyday responses, okay? So, verse 1 says, do not worry or surrender to your fear. Notice again it says, to your fear. Do not worry, which is a byproduct of fear, or surrender to your fear. In other words, you have a choice. Well, that's not usually something that you take time to think out or comprehend. Surrendering to your fear will bring a fruit from darkness, because fear is from darkness. Okay, we hit a brick wall right now. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I want to hear.
I want to hear.
What you're about to teach me,
what you're about to teach,
will heal my tomorrows.
Will heal my tomorrows.
So Holy Spirit is saying, don't worry or surrender to your fear. Your fear is not the same as your neighbor. Amen?
Amen.
Why?
Because you're you.
Because you're unique. And what happened to Joe? What happened to Gail? What happened to any one of us? It is different. Now, when I'm under an anointing of fear of mine, if I'm looking at my neighbor who doesn't have that same fear, I won't understand. Because I'm relating, they should be like me. And if they're not like me, something's wrong with them. That's debatable. But in many cases, it calls for judgment, not discernment. There's a difference between discerning and understanding that that person's fear is different than yours. Where they've lived and how they've lived is different than. Yeah. So now you can respect and choose to understand that what their struggle is different than mine. It's different than yours. So surrendering to it is up to you. When I surrender to my fear, I'm going to act according to the dictates of that fear. Yes?
Yes.
I'm also going to get some results or fruit from that experience. Amen?
Amen.
So, where does fear come from? It comes from hell itself. And you've survived in spite of it. When I say it in spite of it, you have to know that it's coming from hell, number one. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. It came from what? Darkness. Okay? If you look at Adam and Eve, why were they afraid? You know, God was coming down, trying to check up on them. Oh, why are you afraid? Who told you you were afraid? They had never experienced fear. Genesis. So if they had never experienced fear, Papa did not construct them with fear. Because he's the one that we were made like originally. Okay? So if Adam and Eve were created without fear, it's because it wasn't in God. Because he made them in his image. So obviously that confirms that fear comes from hell itself. And it brings torment. And when you and I are living under torment, it's going to be a miserable day. And it's going to be a miserable week. And it's going to be a miserable life, depending on you. Surrendering to it will put you in deeper bondage. Standing up against it will give you war games. So either way, you're going to have some results. Oh, come on. I'm hitting a brick wall here. Hear me. Close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I really need your help. I want to comprehend.
I really need your help.
How I get into trouble.
How I get into trouble.
And how to get out of trouble.
I need to wash my robes.
With the blood of Jesus Christ.
With the blood of Jesus Christ.
The robes of what I've worn all these years. And they were based in fear.
And they were based in fear.
Not in love.
Because God is love.
The satanic kingdom runs on fear.
Guess where I was serving?
Now do I get an ouch?
Ouch.
See, if you get to know where you were living, how you got in trouble, now God says, okay, give up the old garments, put on the new. And it's what? A robe of humility? A robe of teachableness? Washed in the blood of Jesus, we got new attitude? Get it? Why? Because we surrender whatever we choose, we surrender. And sometimes we don't even think we're surrendering. We just act it out. Or we speak it out. James 3 says, you will speak life or
death.
Yeah.
I got that.
Say, this is good stuff, Lord.
This is good stuff.
All right. Do not worry or surrender to your fear. For you've believed in God, now trust and believe in me also. Wow. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you, and when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am, and you already know the way to the place where I'm going. Now, there's a footnote that you need to see. It's the letter I, which is chapter 14, verse 2. There are many resting places on the way to my Father's house. Are you listening? There are many resting places on the way to my Father's house, or there are many homes in my Father's household. The Father's house is also mentioned in John chapter 2:16, where it is his temple on earth, his dwelling place, his tabernacle. Now, I'm adding that one because I want you to know we're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle. So that is yet to be a reality in the earth for the church. Because it's never taken place yet. We're still looking forward to it. This is not just heaven, but the dwelling place of God among men. There is ample room for people of every nation and every ethnicity, room or spare for the church. The body of Christ is now the house of God. See 1 Corinthians 3:16. You can also look at Ephesians 2:21-22, 1 Timothy 3:15, also Hebrews 3:6. So God is getting his way. 1 Peter 2:5. Every believer is now on one of the many dwelling places that make up God's temple. Yeah. This is shattering tradition. This was the message that shattered my religious upbringing back in 86. This is the understanding that there is a day where every person in the body of Christ will have the fullness of Papa operating in him or her. And when he puts that together, they're not going to have fear.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. They're going to be filled with love and compassion and grace. Now, when I'm filled with love, compassion, and grace, fear is now under my feet. It's no longer guiding my emotions. It's no longer pushing my buttons. It's no longer controlling how I think. Now, there's a training period for all of us. And that training is to realize that the more that we have of the Holy Spirit in us, our decisions, our reactions, our choices, our fighting about my will and my plan is going to be evident. That's what you heard today. Because I asked the Lord, I said, what do you want today, Lord? And I got zero. So I'm saying, Lord, I'm driving, I'm coming into church. I don't have a clue about what. He says, you've got ears. I'll be talking to you. He's talking to me through you. Each one of you has a piece to the puzzle. Your mama calls me this week, and I'm all excited because she says, I'm totally different. Why? She came twice. I'm totally different. I want to thank you for what you did to my daughter. I says, I didn't do it. It's Joe's fault. She laughed. But you understand what are we saying? God is giving us a season to surrender. Let your will be done. Let your plan unfold. Oh, I don't like your plan, Lord. I want to go home now, right? You know, and I'm not picking on Joe, although I like it. No, I don't. I want you to take a moment right now. And I want you to realize that when I bow to fear, I bow to my old lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a new creation. If I'm a new creation, that new creation is built on love, based in love, filled with love. And perfect love casts out
fear.
Fear is my enemy. He's not my friend. Okay? So, Verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Master, we don't know where you're going. So how could we know the way there?" Jesus explained, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me." Union and harmony. So when I'm in union with Jesus and his Spirit, there's going to be some changes. Now, I can remember watching different individuals. So don't start putting names and thoughts in your mind, because it's not an accusing thing. Well, I ain't got time to read God's word. I'm too busy. So, what do you say to a person? You're choosing to serve fear. I ain't got time. You've already made a decision. Well, I don't understand. Well, if you never start, you'll never understand. If you choose to be arrogant, you're not conscious that you're choosing it. You're just reacting in that way, under that anointing. Oh, well, I know people who read the Bible and all they do is dictate. Well, they're reading it. They're not experiencing it. They're not living the word. When we are living the word, making it an experience that we have done, then it starts coming alive. Okay? And when I say it starts, I'm not picking on the time slot. Some people start at 20, 30, 40, 70. It doesn't matter when you start. Just start. Make sure you put him first. Put him first on a daily basis. Don't put all your other plans before him. And I can remember many years ago, Holy Spirit said to me, "Seek ye first the kingdom." Well, what does that mean? It means before you do anything else, when you push the coffee button. How many of you have a machine that you push a button for the coffee? Before you push the coffee button, take your Bible out. Okay? Before. Or put it next to it so you'll have a reminder. Amen?
Amen.
And when you bring that cup of coffee to your favorite chair, don't leave the Bible on the counter. Take it with you. Give him the first of your day. And believe it or not, he'll be with you through the whole day. What a surprise. Seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom is established and it's visible in this word. Wow, what an impact that can have. Amen? And in the word, he will carry you through the day, not bowing to fear, but submitting and surrendering to love. Can you imagine I have to love those that I don't like? Yeah, that's part of the trick. And it starts with, yes, loving me. Oh, well, I've done so many things wrong. Well, guess what? The blood of Jesus hasn't washed your robe. It's time that you realize he washed you clean. It's time you believe it. It's time you accept it. Okay. I'm going to skip now. Verse 15. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Huh? Loving Father God, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will empower me to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Savior. That's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend, just like me. You know, I'm sure that those disciples heard those words and they said, "Ha, this is going to be quite an adventure." Then he says, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him. So if you're out there from the world and for the world, you're not going to find him there. Yeah. See that? If you chew on that truth, and you'll see your responses and your actions and your choices, you're going to be a different individual. Now watch again. The world won't receive him because they can't see him and know him. But you know him intimately. Because he remains with you and will live inside of you. Holy Spirit is going to live inside of me. You know, when you have a revelation of who's living in you by His Holy Spirit, you would take time to communicate. You would take time to educate. Not too long ago, I'm speaking to someone that has kind of walked away from the Lord. And I said, "What happened?" "Well, I don't feel like studying anymore." I said, "So you've submitted and surrendered to your feelings. Your mind, will, and emotions are ruling you." And they said, "Well, how do I change it?" I said, "Ask God to give you that desire." "Oh, I didn't know I could do that." So asking God to create a hunger for the Word is your next prayer. When I'm hungry for something, the refrigerator will definitely be located.
It calls you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has a voice. And that refrigerator can talk to you. Okay? You're going to laugh, but my dad was an alcoholic for a number of years before he got to know the Lord. And after he passed away, and it had been a couple of years, and Mom and I were doing some cleaning, okay? Well, in the back of the house, there was a storage area underneath one of the porches. So I'm in there, and it's like a crawl space. It's about maybe 5 feet high, so I've got to bend way down. And there's this piece of, I would call it something that would be used like for a culvert. And it's about 4 feet, 3.5 feet high, 3.5 feet. And it's all cement, and it's glazed. So I said, "My God, what in the world did he keep that there for?" And it's right next to the door when you open this cubby, okay? So I reach over and I said to Mom, "Do you want to keep this or something? Is this going to be a flower thing that you can plant, you know, on the side of the house?" She says, "I have no idea what that piece of culvert is doing. which is, you know, really just sitting there. So I said, well, I think it's time to get rid of that. You know, why leave it there? I'll put it in the dumpster and get rid of it. So I pick it up, and you won't believe I had a discovery. There was a bottle of booze in there. It was one of his hiding places, okay? And I start to laugh. I am laughing hysterically. I said, Mom, you won't believe what's there. She says, so she's on the other side. She comes down. I said, you got to see this. So she sees the bottle. She says, at one time, that would have made me so angry. I rest my case. Okay? I rest my case. I laughed because, see, God's grace, the cleansing of my father's robes by the blood, changed him. He went and preached to all his relatives when he discovered the scriptures. He went and bought some Bibles and brought them to his family that were, let's say, without the knowledge. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying to all of us, when we choose to bow to the fear and the torment that has tried to kill us for years, if we surrender it to any part of it, mm-hmm. it's going to move back in.
Yeah.
Why? Because
you let it.
Yeah, you're resubmitting, and God wants you free. Got it? Just lift your hands to him and say, Holy Spirit, if I've done something by choice that allowed fear to remain, I want you to expose it. And then I need the grace to carry the surrender to Holy Spirit to clean it up. I want it out.
I don't want it controlling
me. Because its plan is to destroy.
Its plan is to kill me.
And I don't like his plan. So I renounce all the hidden fears that try to use and abuse me. And that still try once in a while. I'm recording now. In the heavens, that perfect love casts out all fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I took John Becker's advice. You know, my PC, my new PC has commissioned me to check my blood pressure every day.
Yep.
Well, I did my own thinking.